17 after the hour, 5 o'clock. And of course, I do want to welcome all of you here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. It is that time of the day again where we are coming closer to the throne of grace, and of course receiving the word from above. Is day 7 of the 10 days of prayer. And once again, we do want to welcome the pastor, Pastor Mbata, who is joining us on the line. Pastor Mbata, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you doing this afternoon?
Well, very well, thank you, Pastor. I hope you are fine, and have you been well?
No, I've rested, Zama. The Lord is good to us.
Yeah.
Thank God that we are on number 7.
Oh, fantastic, man. Fantastic, Pastor. Well, without any further ado, I do want to hand over to you so that you can actually lead us in this afternoon's session.
Thank you very much, Zama. Let me take this time, saints, to greet you in the most precious name, in the name of the one who is the firstborn from the dead, the bright morning star, the lily of the valley, the son of Jesse, the son of David, the immutable God, the transcendent God, the omniscient God, the author and the finisher of our faith, and his name is Jesus Christ. We are so grateful this afternoon that we are here in the presence of the Lord. Before we hang the holy things, I want us to pause for the word of prayer. Let's pray together. Merciful, eternal, loving Father, you are our Father and our God. We approach your holy throne this afternoon. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, our Father. We are about to read your word. We are about, Father, to tap on the holy things. We are inviting the presence of the unseen angels and the presence of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us in everything that shall take place in this place. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
We are on day number 7 on our 10 days of prayer under the theme that says priorities of faith. We are going to look at the priority of faith, that is kindness. Our topic this afternoon, it says the value of being kind, the value of being kind. It's a beautiful article that I've been reading, and I want us to go through together on the key text, the key verse. It's John chapter 13, verse 35. It reads, we are using English Standard Version, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Mm.
Let me repeat that. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Kindness, the kindness of God, the kindness is a universal language that can be understood by old, young, rich, poor, male and female, deaf, and as well as blind. Now, when you read the article, the author has alluded on the article that kindness knows no language barrier. It has a universal appeal like music. And one statement or one quotation from Ellen G. White, the author says, quoting from E.G. White, he says, the strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. That is the Ministry of Healing, page 470. Let me repeat, that is beautiful. It says, the strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. Now, this is actually profound when you look at it. Indeed, kindness is one of the priority that we must emphasize this afternoon. By this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Come with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, we are going to read the narrative in 2 Samuel chapter 9. The Bible says here, David's kindness to Mephibosheth. This is one of the characters that God has impressed in my heart. I want to read verse 13. It says, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. When you are looking at this narrative, or when you're looking at this historical analysis of this character, David made a covenant with Jonathan. When you read 2 Samuel chapter 9, David made a covenant with Jonathan, not an agreement, but a covenant. This is what you pick from this narrative. There is a difference between an agreement and a covenant. A covenant has God's attribute in it. It is sealed with blood. But an agreement has to do with an allegiance or harmony or accordance in opinion or feeling between two people.
Mm.
Now, when you read the narrative, when you read this historical narrative, now, David made a covenant with Jonathan, not an agreement. Now, when you read trying to understand the covenant that David made with Jonathan, again, you go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3. It reads, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." So Jonathan is a son of Saul who has become the enemy of David. Now, the Bible says, because Jonathan loved David, the Bible says, "Now then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." That is 1 Samuel 18, verse 3. And again, when you read, as I lay the foundation on the inquiry of David in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, it reads, "So Jonathan took an oath again." Now, when you read the word "again," this presupposes that there was another covenant that was also made between the two parties. And so the Bible says in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, "So Jonathan took an oath again." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." That is 1 Samuel 20, verse 16. When you read the very same chapter about the covenant between David and Jonathan, you will also pick that now Jonathan said again, caused David to vow because he loved him as his own soul.
Mm.
This is a repetition as you read the account of David and Jonathan.
Yep.
Remember, a covenant, it is sealed with blood. Also, it has God's attribute in it. But an agreement is just an alliance between two parties.
Mm.
Now, also, when you look at also 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42, it reads again, as I lay the foundation, remember the value of being kind. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord.'" Remember, I'm repeating that a covenant has God's attribute. Jonathan says to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord. May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever." So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. This is a strong covenant between David and Jonathan.
Mm.
Again, as you read also 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 18, in the foundation of the inquiry in 2 Samuel chapter 9. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. So this covenant was made between David and Jonathan, and God was a witness. So now you'll appreciate it as we go through the article, as we go through also day number 7, the value of being kind. Now, when you read verse 1, it says, "Now David said, 'Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?'"
Mm.
The reason why there is a mention of Jonathan, it is because in the previous chapters, we have picked that there is a strong covenant that was made between these two friends. Now, in this chapter, we have a special side of the kingdom in this inquiry. Here, we don't see the power of majesty of the kingdom, but its kindness and love. Can I repeat that?
Yeah.
When you read 2 Samuel chapter 9, now here we don't see the power of majesty of the kingdom, but its kindness and love. Friends, when the kingdom has a foundation in kindness and love, that kingdom will prosper. When our lives are built upon kindness and love, our lives will flourish. When David is exalted over Israel, he wants to show kindness of to the house of the fallen king, King Saul. He wants also to reward his friend Jonathan for the love he once had him swear before the Lord. So now this is beautiful, because David now is on the throne. He remembers that he made a covenant with Jonathan. The report of the act of kindness marks the end of the first part of his government history. Now, it is an appendix of the history of the leadership of King Saul. So now David makes an inquiry. David, at the height of his power and glory, he thinks of a friend, or he thinks of the friend's love, and he wants to show kindness, or he wants to show his gratitude for the love he shared with Jonathan. Again, that is the attitude of gratitude in a nutshell. In fact, this is the lesson that we shall be talking about tomorrow, the gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. So we are going to handle that tomorrow. But now we see also David, he wants to show the attitude of gratitude because of the love he has shared with Jonathan. So David has defeated his enemies and also and maintains justice in the land. As you read this account, then he thinks of Saul's house and he wants to show kindness to Jonathan, particularly his descendants. So David has been closely associated with Jonathan and he wants to show the kindness of God to Jonathan's descendant, although the descendants belong to the house of Saul. Friends, I want to say there was a time when David was running away from King Saul because King Saul wants to kill David. So David was on the run, running away from the hatred of Saul, but David could not outrun the love of Jonathan. Can I repeat that? David is on the run, running for hatred, running away from hatred, but David could not outrun the love. I want to say this evening, you can run away from hatred, but you cannot outrun the love of Jesus Christ. When grace locates you, when grace is in search of you, you cannot outrun the love of God. Yes, you can run away from hatred, but you cannot outrun the love of God. So David is running away from hatred, but Jonathan had a way of searching for David until he finds him. Now, he says in this narrative, David is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is a perfect proof of God's kindness toward the human race, which deserves nothing but judgment. So we see David here as he's bringing the picture, the full proof of Jesus, the perfect proof of Jesus' kindness, of God's kindness toward human race. In him, the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appears. Now, again, when you read, David cares about the offspring of someone who has persecuted him with deadly hatred. So he makes an inquiry. He says, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness of God for the sake of Jonathan? So David has a reason to show his kindness. That reason is Jonathan, who was near him in the time of his rejection. So David was on the throne, but his heart had scars of the past. Now, you cannot handle the present if you have not dealt with the past. You cannot hang the present situation. You cannot hang success if you can't hang the stress. You cannot hang the present moment if you have not dealt with the past. Don't allow the past to ruin your present. And again, when David had put back the past, he makes an inquiry. He says, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for the sake of Jonathan? Friends, we need to put the past at our backs for us to be able to enjoy the kindness of God in our lives. We need to put the past on our backs. So God is faithful to us. Let us also be faithful to one another. Now, the people you are connected with now will be the connection of your children when you are gone. Can I repeat that? So the people you are connected with now, they will be the connection of your children when you are gone. That is the reason why I want to say you must choose wisely whom you connect with. Hang up with the right friends around you. Your children will be connected to that particular person when you are gone. And again, what we learn from this account, the Bible says, when David makes an inquiry in verse number 2, and there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said, are you Ziba? Then he says, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of God? Friends, the kindness is, it has God's attribute. It's a priority of faith. It's a gift from God. The Bible says Ziba was an old retainer to Saul's family. Ziba was a faithful servant, even though King Saul was dead, but Ziba was faithful to the house of Saul. Oh, friends, we need the servants like Ziba. Don't drop the standard of servanthood, regardless of the circumstance that you find yourself into. Jonathan still has a son. So Ziba says, yes, I am a servant in the house of Saul. Although Saul is dead, but the servanthood attribute, he says, yes, I'm a servant in the house of Saul. Saul is dead, but the servanthood, the attribute, the virtue of servanthood, I still kept it in my heart. Yeah. So the Bible says, Ziba says, yes, Jonathan has a son who is lame in his feet. There is something that you must learn from this account. Before his name is mentioned, his condition is described. Now he is lame. He is crippled in both feet. His name is Mephibosheth. He was not born crippled. When you read 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, the Bible says the news came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan is dead. And the Bible says the nurse was hurried. The nurse picked the boy. As she was in a hurry, she dropped the boy and the boy became lame. He was not born lame. It was the nurse who was in a hurry. He was not born crippled. Someone was in a hurry. Friends, I want to say, I could have been far in life. Somebody has just dropped me. The young man was supposed to be the next king in line, but someone dropped the young man. The nurse was in a hurry. We are not told the name of the nurse, but we are told in 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, that the nurse picked the boy after the news that Saul, the grandfather, and the father, they are dead in Gilboa. And the Bible says, even a prince is not free from misfortune. You may sometimes wish you belong to a royal family or wealthy family, or maybe you may aspire that if I was living in a palace. Friends, listen to the preacher. Life is unfair. Even the prince suffered misfortune. You are not the only one to go through the stuff. In all the stuff you are going through, you are not the only one. You are not the first one. You are not even the last one. Even Mephibosheth suffered misfortune, even though he was born in a palace. Now the Bible says, here is the young man, motherless, yet he is without a mother. He was motherless. He was fatherless. He was hopeless. He was helpless. He was hopeless. The young man at the age of 5. I'm talking to someone here who is an orphan. I'm talking to someone here who doesn't have a father, who doesn't have a mother. I want to say, listen to the voice of the preacher. We have a character here. Here is the young man. He is fatherless. He is homeless. He is helpless. He is hopeless. Mm. Friends, how much better is your condition than this poor leaky orphan that is crippled at the age of 5?
Mm.
I want to say your situation is better. You can walk by yourself. You can pick up yourself. But the young man at the age of 5 was crippled because of the nurse who was in a hurry. Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Can I repeat that promise, friends? I'm talking to someone here who is fatherless, who is helpless, who is hopeless. I want to say this evening, Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will pick me up. Grace will pick me up. Favor will pick me up. Kindness will pick me up. Love will pick me up. I want to say, friends, tonight, your situation is not hopeless. Mephibosheth was carried beyond River Jordan in the newfound home of Michal, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. Mephibosheth is imprisoned at the house of Michal, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. He is exiled in a terrible place called Lodebar. When you read the Bible says, Ziba says, yes, Jonathan has a son, but this son is crippled and this son is locked in the place called Lodebar. In Hebrew, the place Lodebar, it means a place of no communication. Lodebar, it means, oh, let me break this word Lodebar slowly. Lo, the prefix in the name Lodebar. Lo, it means no. Deva, it means word. Now, when you put the word together, Lodebar, it says Lo Deva. So Lo, it means no. Deva, it means word. Now, it's a place that is called no communication, no word, no pasture. So Mephibosheth was locked in a prison called a place of no communication. When you find yourself at Lodebar, it is the place where you are shut down, you are shut up, that you cannot even say a word. A young man at the age of 5 is locked in the prison called Lodebar, a place of no word, a place where you don't cry, you don't voice your concern, you don't voice your brokenness, you don't voice your pain, a place called Lodebar in the house of Michal, the son of Amiel. Son of Michal is not telling Mephibosheth that you belong at the royal palace. You belong at the table. I want to say tonight, the devil has locked us in the place called Lodebar, a place of no communication, a place of no pasture, a place of no word. We can't voice ourselves. We can't utter a word. Michal is not telling us that we belong at the table. Michal, the son of Amiel, is not telling us of our identity. Michal, the son of Amiel, is not telling us that we are the heirs of the kingdom. Michal is not telling us that we belong at the table. We belong around the king. We have the blood of the king in our veins. He was deposed and maimed from the fallen house of the king to a place of no communication. Mephibosheth is deposed in a place of no communication. This young man was dropped. This young man, he lost his birthright without a single word, without a single evil deed that he has done. He was just frightened, little 5 years old, when he was buried in the land of silence. I want to say tonight, maybe you are buried in the land of silence. There is hope. Someone is thinking about you. Mephibosheth was deposed and maimed at the age of 5 in the place called Lo Rebah, imprisoned in the valley of regret. Lo Rebah is a silent place where no one can hear our pain and ease our sorrow. Lo Rebah is a place where Michal doesn't tell us that we belong at the royal palace. He was handicapped at the age of 5. Lo Rebah has stripped off his crown and wounded his spirit. He is locked in the place called Lo Rebah. Friends, I should have been in my castle, but somebody has dropped me. I should have been better, but somebody has dropped me. Don't be hurry to pick me. You may drop me if you are in a hurry. Some of us, we have been dropped by the prayers that are not answered.
Amen.
Some of us, amen, we have been dropped by the people that you promised to love us. Friends, while other children went to play, Mephibosheth could not move in the place of no communication. While other children were climbing trees, he had to stay in the house of Michal in Lo Rebah. What damage did this situation do to his self-esteem, to his emotions, to his self-perception, and to his worldview? The young man has changed. Yet the young man has a low self-esteem. Will David accept Mephibosheth? The Bible says, Ziba says, yes, there is a son, but he's lame. Will David accept this young man? Friends, allow me to tell you why Ziba mentions that Mephibosheth is lame. It is because there was a time in Jerusalem, there was a time when the Jebusites, this is the historical background, why his name is not mentioned prior before his condition. Jonathan has a son called Mephibosheth. He's lame on 2 feet, on both feet. The Bible says, the Jebusites, they were occupying the mountain in Jerusalem. Jebusites, they were the owners of the city of the Mount Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a dwelling place for the Jebusites. When David attacked Jerusalem, when he was a king, under the leadership of the Jebusites were occupying Jerusalem. The king of the Jebusites says, David, you cannot come and attack. Jerusalem belongs to the Jebusites. Then the king of the Jebusites said to David, you shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you, thinking that David cannot come in here to take the city of Jerusalem. David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. When you read this, you get this from 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. And 7. Now David said on verse number 8. Let me read verse number 8. Now David said on that day, who climbs up by the way of water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame, the blind, who are hated by David's soul.
Mm.
He shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Can I say something quickly here? David says, when he takes over the city of Jerusalem under the Jebusites, the king of the Jebusites sent the lame and the blind to repel David. And David sent Joab to kill the lame and the blind. And David stayed in the stronghold in the city of David called Zion. He took Jerusalem from the Jebusites. Jerusalem was not first the city of David. It was the city of the Jebusites. And David took it from the king of the Jebusites. And he killed the lame and the blind. When Ziba says, Jonathan has a son who is lame, he wanted to check if David will accept Jonathan.
Yeah.
Friends, Jesus came to undo what David had done.
Mm.
The kindness of Jesus, when he came to this planet Earth, he came to show kindness that David failed to perform.
Mm.
He says, I will do it better than David. Oh, I feel like preaching now. Jesus Christ came to demonstrate the kindness of God.
Yeah.
Jesus came to undo what David had done. The Bible says one time Jesus went into the temple because David says the lame and the blind must not enter into the house of worship. They must be at the gate. It makes sense to you and me that today, why when you read the New Testament, the lame and the blind are always outside the temple? It is because David says the lame and the blind, they must not enter into the house, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And Jesus Christ, when he drove those who were exchanging money in the temple, and the Bible says in Matthew 21, verse 14, Jesus showed kindness to the lame and the blind when he drove the money exchangers. The lame and the blind, they went inside the house. Jesus came to show kindness to those who are lame and blind.
Yeah.
Before we pray, friends, I want to say the king says, Zama, as we wind up this, the king says, I want Mephibosheth to come and sit where he belongs.
Yeah.
Friends, the chariot of God was dispatched by the king to go and fetch Mephibosheth at Lodebar.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like preaching now.
Yeah.
Are you wounded today? The king is calling you. The chariot of God is dispatched. Are you hurting today? The king is calling you. Are you broken today? The king is calling you. Are you in pain today? The king is calling you. Are you financially handicapped today? The king calling you.
Amen.
Are you experiencing stress in your life? The king is calling you.
Amen.
Are you in great distress tonight?
Yep.
The king is calling.
Amen.
Are your prayers not answered? The king is calling.
Mm.
The Bible says Mephibosheth was fetched from Lodebar because the king says, I am sending the chariot of gold to fetch Mephibosheth in the place of no communication. Friends, I want to say my Savior and my King is calling you tonight.
Mm.
You don't have to sit forever in that situation. The king is calling. Friends,
yep.
The Bible says, when grace locates you, friends, can I close Zama and say, can I close Zama and say, the grace and the kindness of God will break protocols just to pick you up.
Oh, yes. Oh,
the
yes.
The grace of God will locate you wherever you are.
Oh, yes.
The kindness of God will break protocols.
Oh, yeah.
For you,
oh yes,
to receive
yeah,
kindness of God. When grace breaks protocol, just for a sinner to come home. You belong at the table. May the Lord bless us. Shall we pray together? Merciful, eternal, loving Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your kindness. The grace that breaks protocols just to pick us up where we are. Heavenly Father, some of us, we have been maimed because of the prayers. We have been dropped by the prayers that have not been answered. But tonight, thank you, Jesus, because the King is calling us on the table. We belong at the table. Heavenly Father, bless us. Encapsulate us in the palm of your hand, because we belong at the table. We are your property. Mm-hmm. We love you, Jesus, for your kindness and grace that breaks protocol to bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen.